Well, amen to the good singing today. It's good to be with you. You know, I've got to where I'm invited to sing sometimes in these conferences I go to. But it's a little bit hard for me to understand. Most of the time they invite me to sing on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock after the conference closes on Wednesday night. Well, it's a joy to be with you again. We always really enjoy coming over here and being a part of this fellowship, always. Let's bow together and pray for the message today. Also pray for Brother Ron. Our Father, we are grateful today that we have the opportunity and privilege to be here in this place. We come here with joy in our hearts because our brother has found us worthy enough to stand in his place when he's not here, knowing the kind of man that he is, the kind of preacher that he is, the kind of pastor that he is. We're honored to be here. We pray that you'll help us today, that we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you'll help us as we try to preach the Word of God today. We pray for the pastor as he's away, that you'll help him today. We just pray that you'll bless the church while he's gone. And we pray that you'll continue to do great things here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible, if you will, to Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to read just two or three verses there, beginning in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 19. And the man said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach a message today, or at least attempt to preach a message, that I've called the high cost of low living. And we could go to several Bible characters and use them as illustrations today, but we've chosen to look at the life of Lot, sort of put him in the circumstances that he was living in there in Sodom. And I'll just give you the message in a nutshell today. And that is 3 points to it. Lot was a born-again believer. Lot was a backslidden believer. And Lot was a beaten, broken believer when he could have been a victorious believer. And so with that, we'll look at sort of the circumstances there in Sodom in which he lived. Of course, you know that this the words Sodom and Gomorrah are synonymous with sexual perversion, homosexuality in particular. Lot lived in this surrounding in a city that was completely given over to perversion, even to the point of forcing people who came into that city against their will to engage in the kind of things that they were engaged in, and evidently they had a free hand to do so. There was no restraint, there's no prohibition against that, because they wanted to take these two men, these two angels that came in to get Lot out of the city and have that same perversion with them. And because of that, God destroyed it. You'll notice the Bible says that it is a very grievous sin in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. The Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know." God said, "I know." He didn't really have to come down to check it out. He already knew. But God is a gracious God. God is a just God and a fair God. and fair in his understanding of what fair is, not necessarily understand in man's understanding of what fair is, but in his understanding, he is a very fair God. And he's told us more than one time in the Word of God that this sin is especially abominable in his sight. It is a perversion, and God put this message on my heart in light of some of the things that have taken place in recent days in our country and the emphasis that's been given to this kind of sin. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 and 23 absolutely forbids this and says it is an abomination in the eyes of God, and those who participate in these things were to be put to death in Israel's society. I believe that God judges these sins, these types of sins, in individuals and in nations. And I believe that the text here and also Romans chapter 1 will support this assertion. Now, people can fool themselves if they want to about it and say that it's okay, but the Bible says that it is not okay. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind." Those two descriptions there cover the homosexual acts. "Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And I say concerning that, let God's word be true, and everybody who says something different than that be branded a liar. Because in the end result, they're going to be proven to be liars. But you know, the sad thing is that sexual perversion is rampant in our society today, and our leaders are promoting it and pushing it and trying to shove it on us. And I believe with all of my heart, before this year is over, that the Supreme Court will declare it to be the law of the land that we must recognize same-sex marriage. I believe that. I believe it's coming, and I believe it's coming this year, because a federal judge has already ruled that Kentucky must accept people who are involved in same-sex marriage. Even if they got married somewhere else and moved to Kentucky, then they have to recognize that and give them the benefit. And I believe that before the year is over with, we'll see that as a law of the land. And the sad thing is that not only is society plagued with these things, but the churches professing Christianity is plagued with it as well. There are preachers and church staff people, church members involved in these kind of things. The Bible says that those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hardly a week goes by that somehow I do not see either a pastor or a church staff person that has been caught in this kind of sin. And I know of a situation where a man openly declared himself to be a homosexual. He was a member of a Baptist church, and that church never did anything. Now, I don't know whether he attended regularly or not, but that church never did anything to bring him before the church and hold him accountable for his actions. They just smoothed it over and let it go and refused to touch it. Folks, I want to tell you, churches like that turn their backs on this kind of thing are headed for judgment themselves. I believe that's one of the reasons that we don't have any power in our churches today, is because we will not stand against these kind of things and call sin, sin, and brand it for what it is. We're afraid that somebody's going to call us judgmental and say we don't have the right to judge them. But I want to tell you something. When we're standing on the Word of God, if the Word of God finds somebody wrong, we're not judging them. The Word of God is judging them. And we need to take our stand and say what God says. And I fear for our nation today, because I do not know of a single instance where a nation has embraced and promoted homosexuality and same-sex marriage and survived as a nation, at least as a major nation in the world. God judges that, and He judges it severely. He said it is a stench in His nostrils, and we saw in the Bible where the cry of the sin had gone up to God. And I'm not sure whether that means that that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah had gone up to them. I think that was part of it. But I feel like there may have been a cry on the part of the people around Sodom and Gomorrah who were exposed to this kind of thing and who were forced to accept it. They may have made their cry to God, and God heard it and judged it. And I believe if God's people in this country unite and make their cry and their plea to God about this matter, then it may be that He will do something about that. My, I never thought I'd live in a country where the president of that country would actually celebrate that and actually invite a football player who declared himself to be a homosexual, actually invite him to the White House. I'm glad that the man refused to go. But I believe that what he had in mind was that he was going to take this man and he was going to exploit him and use him to promote his own views on what was taking place. I tell you, we are in a mess. We're in a mess. And the reason that we're in a mess is because a lot of people are like Lot. They're backslidden on God. I thought about this, and I wondered what Lot would say today if somehow we could talk to him. I think he might say something like this. Make sure that you're in the will of God for your lives. Do not make the mistake that I made. Because the high cost for low living is too great to pay. I just want to go ahead and define what low living is. We see it exemplified here in the life of Lot. But to me, low living is living outside the will of God for your life. Because you're missing out on God's best for you. And you're opening your life up to chastisement from the Lord. Correction from the Lord because of sin. It is a serious, serious matter to live outside the will of God for your life. And we certainly need to be careful that we'll not do this. Well, as we look at the Word of God, I appreciate it very much because I see that it reveals for our benefit the bad as well as the good in people's lives. Two or three chapters are given here about Lot and what he did. And God gave it in His book for our benefit to warn us against getting involved in this kind of thing. And you don't, I don't believe Lot practiced these things. He just lived among people who did and did not raise his voice against it. And so therefore, by his silence, he actively promoted what they were doing. As a matter of fact, he even became a leader in the city. Well, we're going to look at Lot's life today, and we're going to see him, like I said, first of all, as a born-again believer and how he paid a price for his low living. Now, a lot of people would say that Lot was not saved. But the Bible says that he was. At least several times, he called Lot a just person. One who had been declared righteous in the eyes of God. Now, granted, he did not live like a saved person. He didn't live like a saved person, especially after he moved to Sodom. But the Bible says that he was saved. He was like that person that Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, one who had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know that's possible? That's possible. It's possible for people to get so involved in the world that they forget who they are. I've known a number of people that after they were saved, they turned their backs on the Lord and got into the world and came to the point that they did not even know whether they were saved or not. And when God brought conviction upon their hearts and they realized what they had done, then they repented and they came back to the Lord and they recognized that they had been saved. Now, some people who turn away from the Lord are not saved, but some are. God always chastens those people and brings them back. I remember Brother Percy Ray saying one time about he was mocking people that get mad at something that goes on in the church, and somebody would say, "Well, I'm not ever going back to that church anymore." And he said, "Oh yeah," I said, "you're coming back." He said, "You're on your way right now. You just don't know it." He said, "You're coming back to the church." He said, "You're either going to walk down the aisle and make things right, or they're going to roll your carcass down the aisle and bump it up against the front of the building." But he said, "You are coming back. And you know, if you belong to the Lord, you're coming back one way or the other." I had a friend that preached that one time. He said, "There are three ways that you can come back to the Lord." He said, "You can come back crippled. You can come back, or you can come back confessing. You can come back crippled, or you can come back carried. But you're coming back." I believe that. I've experienced the chastening of the Lord in my own life for disobedience. And I know that it takes place, and nobody had to tell me what was happening when the Lord chastened me. I knew what was taking place. My daddy never whipped me a time in my life that he didn't let me know what he was whipping me for. And God has never chastened me a time in my life that he did not let me know what he was chastening me for. If you don't believe in the chastening of the Lord, all you have to do is look in the life of Lot and what happened to him. I believe that he was a born-again believer. And by saying that, I don't believe I'm saying that that I'm not encouraging people to live outside the will of God for their lives, because I've already mentioned what chastening can take place and what God will do in our lives when we get involved in that low living. I'm going to present two evidences to demonstrate that Lot was a saved person. First of all, there's the background evidence. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Lot lived with Abraham for a period of time. And Abraham was such a godly man that his influence could not help but move Lot toward God. I believe that Lot came to know God under the influence of Abram. And he lived with Abram, and Abram trusted the Lord, and I believe that his faith would have influenced Lot in that direction. But we move to biblical evidences. As I mentioned there, he's called righteous at least three times in the Bible. 2 Peter 2:7. Calls him just Lot, that verse says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word just there means right or righteous. And only those who repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are just or right people. Then 2 Peter 2:8 says, for that righteous man, talk about Lot, that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That word vexed means tormented. Had Lot not been saved, he would not have been tormented by the lifestyle of the Sodomites, because a great percentage of the country today think it's perfectly okay to have same-sex partners. They think it's okay. They think it's none of our business. But a child of God can't see it that way because of what the Bible says. We have to stand with what God says in His Word. He was tormented by the things that he saw and heard every day. Then think about this. Had Lot not been saved, God would have destroyed him along with the Sodomites. But God made every effort and His grace to get Lot out of Sodom before He destroyed it. The Bible says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy it. And you know what? Warning was not enough. They had to take Lot by the hand and drag him out of the thing. Now that's the grace of God, isn't it? I read an illustration of grace one time that's really stayed with me. I heard one of my seminary professors tell a story about this, and I never did ask him whether he was talking about himself or whether he was talking about someone else. But he was talking about a man walking one day, and he looked across a field, and he saw a house on fire. And, of course, he went running over there to see if there was anything that he could do. And he said when he got to the house, he heard a faint cry inside the house for help. And being the kind of man that he was, he went into the house, and when he got in there, he found an invalid man. And he said, because the fire was spreading so quickly, he grabbed the man up in his arms and started out the door. And when he started out the door, the man grabbed on the door jamb, and he could not get him out. The only way that he could take him out, he took his fist and knocked his hands loose from the door jamb and took him out. He said, now that's grace. He said, we're holding on to that. People are holding on to that which is going to kill them. And God just literally drags them away from that sin. That's grace. That's grace. That's what he did with Lot. Had he not done so, Lot would have died with the rest of those folks. But he said, there's not anything that we can do. Those men said, we can't do anything until we get you out of here. We've got to get you out of here. And God is about to destroy this place. Lot went to his son-in-laws and told them, and they laughed. They thought he was making a joke. They thought he was joking with them. I wonder if Lot had maybe made light of the things of God before. You know, there are some things that we ought not to joke about. We ought not to joke about the things of God. They're too serious and too holy and too precious to make light of. And I'll tell you something else. When we make light of these things, it causes people not to take us seriously when we get serious about the things of God. Well, you know the story of how Lot moved into Sodom. The Bible says he looked up Abraham and his herdsmen got into a fuss about who was going to possess what. Instead of working things out, they separated. I'm sure Abram would have been willing to work things out, but Lot had his eyes on other things. He lifted up his eyes and looked. And then the Bible says he moved toward Sodom, and then he moved into Sodom. And not only did he move into Sodom, but he actually became a leader in the city. He sat at the gate of Sodom, what we might call a city councilman. The Bible warns us against giving in to worldly attractions. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And yet so many professing Christians are so deeply in love with the things of this world. They live with the world's philosophy. They really run after the world's entertainment. And they desire the world's approval in their lives, instead of more than God's approval. That's what Jesus said about some of the religious leaders in his day. He said they love the approval of men more than the approval of God. And yet the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's going to be the approval of God that prevails and not the approval of men. And I think each one of us has to examine our own lives as to whether or not we have a strong attraction and affection for the things of the world. You know, one of the reasons that a Christian would dread dying is because he's leaving behind the things of this world. Well, all the time the Bible tells us that the things of this world are nothing in comparison to the things that God has prepared for. That's one of the reasons that people hate to leave this world. I remember just a teenage girl who was a member of the church there at Greenbrook. When I pastored there, I'd preached on the second coming. And here's what she said. I hope Jesus doesn't come until I have time to grow up and marry and have a family. Well, I can understand her desire to grow up, marry, and have a family. That's a wonderful thing. But my, if the Lord came today, the things that He's prepared for us would be far greater than anything that we'll ever experience in this life. A friend of mine asked me last night, he said, "Can I talk to you a few minutes?" And I said, "Sure." And his voice was breaking when he said it. He said, "My wife is in trouble." He said, "She has gotten where she cannot remember anything." And he said, "I'm afraid to leave her by herself." And here was a man that he had always been able to do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, and she was always supportive and everything. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that if we live long enough in this world, we're going to experience things. Things are not going to be as good as they used to be. I think about my own life. I've always enjoyed playing ball and that kind of thing. And just recently, y'all laugh about that, but just recently, I found out that I can run as fast as I ever did. I just don't cover as much ground when I'm going. You know, things happen to you. Things happen to you as you get older. But I tell you what, we sing about that place and talk about that place where we'll never grow old. And I tell you, when we think about that, the things of this world don't seem to have the attraction on us that it once did. Well, Lot was a born-again believer, but he was a backslidden believer. He got his eyes on the world. He moved into Sodom. Now, think about that. I don't know what... Man, when I hear this on the news or when I see something like this, it just... I don't know. It does something to me. It makes me angry, but it does something more than that to me. And I think about how things used to be. And I think about my grandchildren and what they're going to face. I'm telling you, folks, God's not going to put up with this thing. He never has, and He never will, because an abomination to it. And we as Americans may throw our shoulders back and say, "This is America, and nothing's going to happen to us." The people of Jerusalem and Judah, when the enemy was knocking down the gates of Jerusalem, were saying to each other, "God's not going to let anything bad happen to us. We're His people." But you see what happened to them. When we get to, when I was a boy, my mother and daddy and other adults used to talk about kids getting too big for their britches. And I think we've gotten too big for our britches here in this country. And God's calling a halt to it. He's bringing us down. Well, like I said, a lot of times when you begin to talk like this, people say you don't have any right to judge other people. And they'll defend other people and their ungodliness. The people like that just need to read and understand what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, when it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are not done of them, or which are done of them in secret." The word "reprove" there has the meaning to expose these things for what they are: sins against God. I believe in my heart that the reason that people got so angry about Phil, what's his name, on the Duck Dynasty, when he said what he said about homosexuals, the reason they got so angry is because he made America see what it is. It is vile and disgusting, and he made them see what it is. And you know, people don't like to see the truth a lot of times. They don't like to see the truth. We're to expose them, speak out against them. Lot did not do that. Matter of fact, he went so far as to call these people brethren. When they knocked on the door of his house and said, "Send these men out." Lot stepped outside and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." He was so messed up in his thinking that he called them brethren. Now, you know Lot had to know that he was wrong. A lot of people are involved in sin that know that they're wrong. They know that they're wrong. When you call it to their attention, they get angry. But they know that they're wrong. The Bible says that Lot was vexed or greatly oppressed and tormented by the wicked practices of the people of Sodom. And I believe that as a saved man, God would have spoken to him every day saying something like this, "Lot, leave this place. You do not belong here. God is not pleased with you being here. You're out of the will of God for your life, and chastening is coming to you if you stay here. Go back to where you came from." Can anybody here identify with that? God speaking to you in just such a manner. You ever had the experience of being somewhere and you just knew, just all of a sudden you just knew that was no place for you and you had to get up and get out of there? Lot experienced that. He refused to recognize his wrongdoing. He was backslidden. He was involved in low living. And again, I say that low living, just living outside the will of God, qualifies as low living. We're missing out on God's blessing. I've been studying the warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And I've come to discover that what God is saying to the people there is that you need to move forward in your Christian life. If you hold back, if you draw back, then you're going to miss out on God's best for you. And besides that, you open yourself up to chastening from the Lord. Boy, something can look so good. Lot lifted up his eyes and looked, that well-watered plain. And he moved out there, and then he became acquainted with Sodom. And he saw an opportunity there, maybe a business opportunity. He said, "I can really help myself here, financially or otherwise, or maybe his children." He said, I can help my children here if I get to be somebody." But you see, he got them into Sodom, but he never could get Sodom out of them. And of course, his wife was so smitten with the things that were going on in Sodom, perhaps her bridge party and her club and all these other things, that when time came for her to leave, she just had to look back. Look back longingly. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. Lot paid a heavy, heavy price for his low living. And so will everyone else. Then finally, Lot was a broken, beaten believer when he could have been a victorious believer, like Abram. Abram was not a perfect man, but he strove to live in the will of God for his life. And God blessed him in doing that. The Bible warns us that it is impossible to circumvent God's law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And I know that you've heard this many times. We must reap what we've sown. And sadly, we always reap more than we have sown. And some of the sins that people get involved in carry their own penalties, as we see here in this case. Lot paid a tremendous price. He lost his Christian initiative. He became disobedient, and disobedient Christians are out of fellowship with the Lord. Think about that. Living your life without any understanding or recognition of the presence and power of God in your life. I tell you, every day, I face situations and think about situations that I have to cry out for the presence and the power of God in my life. I cannot even imagine living a life months, weeks, and months, and years at a time without any fellowship with the Lord. Just recently, I was sitting in my study there at the church. The pastor has got his study across the hall from mine. And I was studying some things, and I tell you, God began to move on my heart. It's one of those things where I had to get up and go. I had to get up and move. And I walked in on him, and I guess he thought I was crazy. I couldn't say anything. All I could do was lift my hands. After it's all over with, I said, "Brother Randy, I guess you thought I was crazy." He said, "No, sir." He says, "I'd hoping some of it would jump over on me." But I want to tell you something, folks. What you think about never, never experiencing the presence of God. Even though you're a child of God. God has said, "Lo, I'm with you." He indwells us through His Holy Spirit. There's never a time when He's not with us, but we can get our lives in such a mess that we can't see or recognize His presence in our lives. That's where Lot was. He had no idea of trying to change the world that he was living in. He lost his ability to witness and to speak for God. He lost his children to Sodom. Their thinking and morality is, as you find out later in Genesis, their thinking morality reflected the philosophy of Sodom instead of the principles of God's Word. I wonder if they were even saved. I wonder if Lot had even bothered to talk about it to his children about their salvation. He was so involved in the world. We know this, that when he spoke to his sons-in-law, they laughed at him. And then Lot lost part of his family, all of his friends, to the wrath of God. They were destroyed. There is a high cost for low living, for living outside the will of God. And I hope we've learned a lesson from Lot today. A backslidden believer, deliberately. So you don't walk with the Lord today and then all of a sudden backslide. There are steps to backsliding. You don't get away from God just in a heartbeat. Now, outwardly it may seem that way, but people backslide in their hearts before they ever backslide outwardly. There are some steps to it. We need to guard ourselves against it. The minute that we perceive in our beings that we're out of fellowship with God, we need to fall on our faces and ask Him to show us what it was that caused that breach in fellowship and make it right. Most of the time we know what caused it. And while I'm not telling you to get rid of your television, because I watch some things on TV, but that's one of the greatest seductions of the people of God that we have. Because very, very, very rarely, unless you turn on the preaching program, and even not many of them, rarely do you see anything on there that benefits your relationship with the Lord and your fellowship. I tell you, backsliding. Some people say backsliding is an Old Testament doctrine, not a New Testament doctrine. But I believe it's both Old and New Testament. And we need to be careful. I don't know about you, but I want to end my life as an obedient, triumphant, victorious Christian. When I pass out of this life, I want the day that I die, or the day that Jesus comes, whichever one it is, to be the day of the closest fellowship with the Lord that I've ever had. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share this message. We believe it's your message for the hour. And we pray that you'll take us and help us to take it to heart and respond to it in the manner that you'd have us to respond. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name.